Hey, this is Pastor Spencer with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to a sermon from a Sunday morning.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the Kamunges from Kenya, working with Christian Outreach International, but practically working with you. And we are training men and women for Christian ministries at Moffat Bible College, and also pastoring in a rural area, and also taking care of HIV and AIDS kids, and they are 50. We will be sharing about that this afternoon with you. And I want to say before this afternoon, thank you, and thank you so much for the 13 years that Racine Bible Church has been working with us. We are really humbled, and we have no words to say, but just to use the very human words of saying thank you. Because 13 years, you have been working with us, and you have been working with us in the ministry. I'll be sharing about that with my wife this afternoon, so please come so that we can be together. Again, thank you, and thank you, and thank you, and many, many times thank you. Let me ask all of us to, if you can open, we open our Bibles in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses number 1 to 6. Ephesians chapter, the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. As a prisoner for Jesus Christ, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The theme of my sermon from this text is let us walk together. And this is the very theme which the Apostle Paul has really emphasized in the book of Ephesians, because when he pastored the church and he was away, he realized that there was a problem within the church because the Jews had their own understanding of the Mosaic covenant in the Old Testament, and the Jews had their own worldview of the scriptures. When we come to the Gentiles, and this is a group which was there in the church, they didn't have anything to do with the Mosaic covenant, which really the covenant was taking people to God and connecting people with God. But the Gentiles were not even circumcised, and this was the problem among the Jews. When Paul realized that this is a problem within the church, he had to write to them and tell them, please, we are unified by Jesus Christ through his death on the cross. He also mentioned to them that we are also unified by Jesus Christ through the gospel, of which is the means into which we get into salvation, because salvation is the joining factor within the believers. And therefore, not only that they should walk together. When you go through the chapter 1, you see that Paul is also talking about the spiritual blessings that God has given all believers, whether a Jew or a Gentile. And those spiritual blessings, they are given to believers so that they can be able to walk together because they are brothers and sisters. Let me go through very quickly the chapter 1 so that you see what Paul is talking about, the whole idea of walking together. He is saying that all believers, whether Jews, Gentiles, whoever we are, we were chosen by, he has used the word chosen. We were chosen by God even before the foundation of the earth. Way back before we were born, we were chosen by God. And this has nothing to do with the nationality. This has nothing to do with the tribe. But all believers were chosen by God. This is a very mysterious blessing to us. Because we were chosen before the foundation of the earth. He is also using another word in that chapter, that was, we were predestined. This is the whole idea. The Greek word is to mark us, to put a mark in us, that we belong to him. Gentiles and Jews, and name them. We belong to Christ because we are believers. He has also used another word which has to prompt us to walk together, that we were all adopted into the family of God. That's the way we are. Whether Jews or Gentiles, we were adopted into the familyhood of God. He has also said to the Ephesian church that we were redeemed, that the redemption of Jesus Christ came to all of us, which brought all of us together because his death on the cross completed our salvation altogether. And that's why he is urging them to walk together as believers, because we belong to one another. He has also said that we have one faith in Jesus Christ. This is not a bunch of doctrines, but the faith, and he will repeat that in verse number 6 of the chapter 4, that we have one faith which is glorious, the faith with things that we hope for when he is revealed. And he has also mentioned that we have been established, we have been rooted, we have been grounded on Jesus Christ. And all these things in chapter 1, they should motivate us. They should help us as believers to walk together. And this walking together, according to the understanding of the Apostle Paul, is not the very word of walking, physical walking. It is holistic walking, that we are walking together mentally, emotionally, and the whole being of us. We are walking together as believers in Jesus Christ because we have been made one. Therefore, is this easy? It is not easy. But believers, he is saying, we can try our best and walk together. And he has given 4 ways that we can strive to. Therefore, we walk together. The 4 ways. One thing, number 1, in verse number 1, which is in chapter 4, verse number 1, the emphasis there is that our walking must be consistent with our calling in Christ. In fact, Paul has repeated many, many times the phrase "en Christus," "en Christ," "in Christ," because all of us, when we are in Christ, we can strive to walking together as believers in Christ. He is not talking to those who are not in. He is talking to us believers because we are in. And therefore, as we walk, our walking should be consistent with our calling in Christ. Paul is not ignorant that the fact of walking together, even among the believers, is not easy. That's why he is using the word, "I urge you, I beg you, I beseech you." That is to say, please, I understand it's not easy, but please, let's walk together as believers in Jesus Christ. He has used the word "worthy of our calling. This word worthy has an idea of balancing. We have been called by Jesus Christ even before the beginning of the foundation of the earth, and he knew who we are and who we'll be becoming. And he called us to be Christians, followers, disciples of Jesus Christ by accepting salvation. So this call has an idea of salvation. And because salvation has transformed all of us, we have become different. We are so different from the way we were before we were called. Therefore, let's balance this, that our calling should be equal with our conduct. The conduct has an idea of the way day-to-day life. Let's balance our conduct and what we do with our profession of faith and practice in Jesus Christ. And he is also talking about we are one body. Because when we come together as believers in Jesus Christ, we become one body, the ecclesia, the church of Jesus Christ. And therefore, because all of us, we are believers in Christ, we can be able to walk together. It's not easy, but we can try to walk together, and our calling in Jesus Christ and our conduct should be balanced, that what we say is what we do. That's what he is saying. We help each other to walk with one another. As we walk together, number two, chapter four, number two, our walking must be good towards one another. That's the emphasis. Our walking together must be good towards one another. It's very important when I study this book and trying to trace what Paul is talking about. I came to understand through this book that most of us, we emphasize walking with God. But we should understand also that we cannot walk with God without walking with one another. Walking here is both vertical and horizontal. We try to walk with God, not really trying, but we have to walk with God and also walk with our brothers and sisters so that we can make our complete whole. We can be completed. So therefore, we must be good toward one another. There's no way we can be able to walk with others if we are not good toward one another. In fact, he has used, in order to walk with one another, to be good towards one another, he has used four important variables or virtues. And this is humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another. It's not easy, but we can try because we are believers in Jesus Christ. With the word humility, this is the attitude which has an idea of putting somebody else first. And this is, he has repeated almost five times in his writing. And why he is saying this, I mentioned that the church was composed of Gentiles and Jews. And the Romans used to say that we cannot be able to be humble. The humility should come from the Gentiles or the slaves. But Paul is bringing the whole idea that all of us can be humble, and when we express our humility, we can be able to walk together. And humility is a virtue for all of us, which can prompt us to walk together or walking together. We become humble because of who Christ is to us. We don't strive without Christ. It is Christ who helps us to be humble, to express humility. And humility makes us valuable. though we might be going through different experiences and problems in the families, in the church, wherever you are, at work, you still variable. You have value before Jesus Christ. Whether you are going through divorce, whether your children are not going with Christ, they are not walking with Christ, and yet you are a believer, you are still variable. You have great value in Christ. All of us, we have value when we stand before Jesus Christ. And that's why we are supposed to walk together. Brothers and sisters, when I go through the Greek word of humility, it comes in my mind the money we have here in Kenya. I'm in Kenya or here. I have $20 note. This $20 note, for sure, before it came to me or to you, it has gone through many experiences. Of course, when it was made, I hope it was made, it did not come by mystery. But when it was made, it has gone through many, many experiences. And it has never lost its own value. One, it has got some people, who knows, it has gone through the toilet. When you go to the bathroom, it goes to the toilet. Of course, you pick it up. You feel like you wipe your tears. You wipe your sweat. Sometimes it goes to a very dirty pocket. And when you see it, it's not a dime. It is $20 note. Because the value remains the same. Brothers and sisters, when you come to the word humility, whether you are going through struggles, problems of whatever nature, in the families, at work, before God, we are humble and we retain the same value before Christ. Paul continues saying about in order to walk together, we should be gentle. Gentle. This is an attitude of which is opposite of rudeness and harshness. Is it possible in the families? Sometimes you feel very mad. Sometimes you feel it's almost you are nearing death because you feel you don't want to be there because you are so mad, and yet you are a believer in Christ. That is the experience. But the issue here is that let's be gentle. Let's control our emotions, because the word has an idea of controlling our emotions when we are mad. Believers, don't we feel so mad? Even in the families, even at work, your boss is not conducting himself nicely and you feel you are going to kill him? You see, and you are a believer. Paul is not denying that we go through all these experiences. And he is telling us, let's control our emotions because we can be able to walk together when we do that. We have a friend in Kenya, my wife and I, and this one friend, they are believers in Christ, and they are not sick. But what is happening all the time is that they are arguing. And the arguing will go through the roof and neighbors will come to rescue them. And after 2 days, they are so mad. Even the kids, they know that their parents, they are always all the way up to the sky when they are so mad. I think all the time we tell them, please control your anger. Control your emotions. Let's walk together as families so that we can be like the way Jesus wants us to be. Gentleness is the opposite of rudeness and also controlling our anger. And when we control ourselves, we can be able to walk together. You cannot expect somebody who is so mad and the one who is also peaceful to walk together. They must be on the same ground so that they can walk together. He has used another word, patient. And the word patient is the attitude of endurance to the end. Enduring to the end. Imagine, we believers, we are called to try this. Because sometimes it's not easy to endure. In the families, at work, wherever you are. Even at the church sometimes. But we are called to endure to the end. Brothers and sisters, as we walk together in the church, at work, families, we should seek to accommodate everybody. You know, our temptation most of the time is when we try to ask people to accommodate us. We should accommodate people, accommodate parents who are not, sometimes they don't like you. We accommodate each other, but not seeking people to accommodate us. Because we are different. We are called to be different. As we seek to walk together, which is not easy as believers, the third thing in verse number 4 is that we must be people of peace. We must be people of peace. Paul is saying to us, make every effort to make peace with one another. As we walk together, I want to admit, I want to not to be ignorant, but it is not easy to make peace. But we should understand that Jesus is the one who created peace to all of us, reunited us back with God, reunited all of us together as families so that we can be the church. And this happened on the cross. Imagine without the cross, how can you know Paul Kamunge? I'm here because of the cross. We are all together because of what happened to all of us on the cross through Jesus Christ. If we were not saved, if Jesus did not die, I don't think I would have known many of you. From Africa to here, from here to Africa, through mission teams, there's no way without Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is only through Jesus that he created peace. And therefore, Paul is calling us to be people of peace so that we can walk together. We have to understand that we are different from different nationalities, as it was in the Ephesian church, the Gentiles and Jews. Here also, we are different. In Kenya, we are different in tribes. For the two tribes, sometimes we come together and we don't understand one another. They have different tongues. They do different things, different worldview, different education, different political orientation. And coming together as a church, we have to understand that we have been brought together by Jesus Christ. The same with us, the congregation today. You come from different, not tribes, because it's like almost one tribe. But we have different nationalities around us. Different political orientation, Democrats, and those others. Worldviews. You have different worldviews, backgrounds, understanding, notions of cultures. And yet you see what Jesus has done to all of us, bringing us and calling us to be the church. And that's why he is telling us that we must be people of peace. The other thing Paul is helping us to understand about walking together is about that we must focus on the foundation of our fellowship. That's the fourth thing. The walking together, we must focus on the foundation of our fellowship. Paul has listed 7 important things that center on the 3 persons of Godhead. Because they are not centered on us, the church, but they are centered on the 3 persons of Godhead, Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And he is saying that we belong to one body. so many times uses the word soma, the word body. He sees the church as the body, like my body or your body. And sometimes he is arguing, asking, if the head is the eye or the eye is the hand, how can that body function? But he wants people to understand that when we come together as the church, we have different functions. And all these functions, they are there to edify this one body of Jesus Christ. And that has to help us to walk together. We are one in Jesus Christ. He has used the word one body, and this is a description of the church. All of us, we belong to one body. Different spiritual gifts, different talents, and yet we come together to edify or to make the church grow for Jesus Christ. He has also used another word here, that we have one spirit. I mean, if you look into your Bibles, it is one Holy Spirit. Not many spirits, but one Holy Spirit. And this one Holy Spirit is indwelling in each and every one of us. He has unified the whole body to be one. I mean, we are one. And that's why he is saying we can be able to walk together because the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit in me is one. That is the unity. That's the holistic understanding of one Holy Spirit. Another thing within the foundation, and the foundation I want you to understand, is that we are standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And when Paul is saying, just focus on the foundation of your fellowship, koinonia, is the foundation that Jesus established, not us, as we can't, but Jesus, through his death, established that foundation. And that's where we stand strong and straight, proclaiming and saying who we are in Jesus Christ. And that's why he is saying that we have that one spirit. And he has also mentioned something else for the church that can help us to understand that we should walk together. And he is saying that we have one future, glorious future, and some Bibles, they say one hope. And the hope he is talking about here is the hope that we have, not only today, but also to the future of our life with Christ. That when he is revealed, all of us will see him face to face. Whether Jews or the Gentiles, all of us as the church, his followers, his disciples, that will face him one day because we have that glorious future. Imagine today you are going through many struggles, many experiences, which are not good. And the future belongs to Jesus Christ. And it's not only the future, but also glorious hope with him. So many things will come to us as families, many things which are not good. Hope is there for us. Sometimes you are going through divorce. Sometimes you are going through children who really don't want to talk to you. Children who are not walking with you as a family. Children who are not walking with Jesus Christ. And sometimes you feel you are really not feeling okay. You are not good. But we should focus on the foundation that we have received. And this foundation is Jesus Christ, our Father, our Comforter, the Father of all believers. The future hope is proclaimed by the Apostle Paul. Regardless of what we go through, those bad experiences, Jesus is saying that we have that glorious future and hoping that hope should unite all of us so that as we walk together, we know those things that we go through, they are temporal, but there is that future that Christ is waiting for us to give us the glorious hope, to give us the glorious life. Paul is also has mentioned one master, that we belong to one master. Before we came to Christ, we had so many masters dragging us here and there, helping us to do those things that are not according to the scriptures. But when we came to Christ, Paul is telling us that we have one master. And this one master is Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Jesus is our master, and he is not only a master, but he is our brother. Paul has mentioned that elsewhere, especially to the Galatians, that Jesus is our brother. And he is even better than our brothers, because sometimes our brothers will drag us here and there, will not even talk to us. They will sometimes not really listen to us. But Jesus is our brother. And we should embrace that concept. He's not only our master, but he is our brother. I don't know how you see Jesus. If sometimes when I'm teaching soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, to my students, I ask them, have you ever called Jesus your brother? And some of them say, how can we call Jesus our brother? It's just like joking with him. Of course, it's not joking with Jesus, but you call him brother because he's the Son of God, and we are all sons and daughters of God. So he's our brother. If you can joke with your brother, the brother you like, the brother who is near to you, why not ask Jesus, I have been praying for all these things, and I know you are going to give me. I know I'm waiting. You know what's going on? Because he is our brother. We are unified all together by one master. He continues saying that we have one faith. This is not a bunch of doctrines. It is, we have believed in Jesus Christ. That is the faith we have. And the faith is today and tomorrow and even in the future, because our faith is rooted and grounded on Jesus Christ. You don't have your own faith. You don't have your own faith. I don't have my own faith. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we have faith in Jesus Christ. Is this not going to help us to walk together, noting and realizing that we have one faith in Jesus Christ? He continued talking about another thing, that we have received one baptism. One baptism he is talking about here is not the baptism that the discipleship, you go through discipleship, and then you are baptized with water. He is going beyond that, and he is saying it is the inner proclamation of what has been done by Jesus in us. Because the water baptism is the public witness of what has happened in us. We are baptized, water baptism, when we have already accepted Jesus Christ. We are incorporated into the body of Jesus Christ through baptism. That is a public witness. But Paul is measuring with the inner witness that we have received salvation, which has been concluded, which has been completed by Jesus Christ in all of us. All of us, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have been baptized in our hearts. And that's why we follow Jesus Christ. And he continues saying that we have one God, our Father. through Jesus Christ. That unity that Jesus created on the cross, that we have one God, our Father, that we can call God our Father. Not those fathers who are not kind to their kids, those weird ones. Our Father in heaven and our Father within us and with us. Imagine that all of us, me from Africa, people from Asia, people, you, all of us here, that we have one God, our Father, united together by what Jesus did on the cross for all of us. Then, is it possible then, because we have one Father, we are brothers in Jesus Christ, as families, as the church, is it possible for us to walk together? To edify the church? To do ministries together? As we wait for that glorious hope from Jesus Christ? Is it possible? Of course, it is good to say, sometimes it is not possible. But can we try our best to walk together? Of course, as I said, Paul is not ignorant that it is not possible, but we can try. That's why he is saying, I beg you, I urge you, I beseech you. Can we be able to walk together? What is the point of action here from our reading today? We need to tirelessly facilitate walking together, not only with God, but also with one another. That's the whole holistic understanding of walking together. We facilitate tirelessly walking together with not only with God, but also with one another. We should also seek not to be accommodated by others, which is a big temptation among us, believers. We should not be accommodated, but let's seek to accommodate others so that we can walk together as believers. We should be compassionate to others, be gracious, love them. Also continue maintaining unity, commitment to walking together. Let's walk together. We belong to one another. We belong to one family of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you for listening.